Every year on December 2nd, sound effect producer Posey Gruner celebrates the day she was born. So that's not special, right? Everyone has a birthday. But Posey was born into the Love family. This was a commune, some might call it a cult, that existed in Seattle in the 1970s and 80s. And here's the thing, when you join the Love family, you acknowledge that you were an eternal being, and you stopped keeping track of time. So the fact that Posey even knows when to celebrate her birthday at all is due to an act of rebellion. Here's Posey with the story.
The day I was born, my parents were living in the now. My father was looking out the window, noticing how the morning sun made the fresh snow sparkle. My mother was focusing on the pain. But they weren't just living in the moment. They were in the eternal now. Their names were Constance and Richness. They lived with a family of brothers and sisters on the top of Queen Anne Hill in Seattle. And this family had a patriarch, a man named Love.
They're called the Love family. 300 to 400 strong, they live communally and share the same last name. That name is Israel.
Their first names represented the virtues that Love saw in them. Purity, imagination, devotion. They wore flowing robes and had long hair and beards. They smelled of body odor and brown rice and marijuana. They had guitars, and they liked to sing. Love had arranged their life according to a few key principles. We are all one. Love is the answer. The time is now. That time is now stuff, they took that one to an extreme. People in the family didn't keep track of days or months or even years. Time just didn't apply to them. And so they didn't apply it to their kids either.
Because the family believes that human beings are eternal and therefore have no ages, the children don't celebrate birthdays. They don't even know how old they are.
And that's how it happened that on the day I was born, my parents had no idea what day it was. But there was another person in the room that day.
This is my writing. Let's see if we got Posey on here.
This is J.L. Regis. She's the midwife who delivered me.
Brotherhood, right.
We're at her kitchen table, flipping through the handwritten pages of a ledger.
I scribbled dates down on this.
She traces a finger down row after row of meticulous handwriting.
God, there's so many babies. Look at all those. Oh, yeah. That's all the way to 80. November. Oh, look, 12-2-80. There's me.
Look at that.
It's right there in ink. A month, a day, a year, a birthday. My birthday. This piece of paper would be so important to kids like me. But at the time that JL wrote it, it was heresy. To understand why this notebook was so important, we have to back up a little bit to a time before JL joined the Love family. Back then, she was a young nurse working at a doctor's office. She lived on a little farm outside Seattle, and for a while, she had been seeking friends who were on her wavelength. Then one day, a woman walked into the doctor's office.
And she was very pregnant, and she said, "Do you know anyone who does home births?" And I very quietly raised my hand.
JL delivered her baby. As a thank you, the woman suggested a few elders go to visit JL and find out if she was interested in joining the family.
The fellows who came to visit were imagination, serious, encouragement, and meekness. And they are just fine brothers.
These were the brothers and sisters she was looking for. So JL quit her job, turned over her farm and all her possessions to the family, and took up residence at the landing pad for newbies, the front door inn. And then she met the father.
I can remember opening the door of the front door inn and this man standing there with this big smile on his face, thinking that I'd know who he was or, you know, something. And I'm going, "Who are you?"
Things were off to a rocky start, and they didn't much improve. For example, when people joined the family, Love would ask them to write a letter to their parents, basically saying, "Thanks for raising me, but I have a new family now." When Love asked JL to write to her mother, she said no. And she added one more thing.
If you insist that I do, I'll probably put a P.S. at the bottom and let her know that I was told to do this.
And then there was her name. Most people in the family eventually got virtue names. Love even gave me a name, and I was just a baby. The virtue he saw in me? Composure. But JL stayed JL.
One time, Love just said, "You are just too physical, JL. You need to be more spiritual."
But JL knew the importance of earthly concerns. Family members would slice their hands open, and JL would stitch them up. People would get cavities, and she'd get them to a dentist. People would get hungry and wet and cold, and she'd take it to the only guy who could do anything about it. The guy who wasn't paying much attention to that kind of stuff.
I would go to Love and say, "The kids at the ranch need eggs and milk and boots, you know, period."
Still, Love tolerated JL. And anyway, kicking her out of the family would have been a bad idea. Because JL could deliver babies. And the family was having a baby boom.
I stopped counting births at like 186 or something in my birth career.
Of course, JL was doing more than just counting these births. She was writing them down.
I had a three-ring binder. Oh my God, I loved my three-ring binder and my pencil.
After she delivered a baby, she'd pull out her binder and write down the parents' names, the baby's name, the location, and the date. And then she'd hide it away again. So all the while that Love was telling people they were eternal, JL was acting on what she knew to be true. Lives end, and lives begin, and kids grow up. She knew that there might come a day when these children would grow up and take a look around and decide that they wanted to join regular American society. And she knew that those kids would need an entry ticket, a birth certificate. That's when she got a helpful tip from a friend named Wisdom.
She used to work down at King County Courthouse, and she said, "You know, you could probably just go down there and record the births."
So that's what she did. Then she'd go back and deliver more babies. Eventually, JL's ledger was full of birth records, written by hand in her neat black pen. And then one day, Love got his hands on it.
Thrown in the fire, in the fireplace.
When she realized what had happened, JL knew she had to recreate it immediately. She and Wisdom got a new pen and new paper and rebuilt it from memory.
I remember being in Logic's basement and writing as fast as we could to put it all together again.
And that is the notebook that JL still has to this day. My parents left the Love family when I was a toddler. Things with Love had changed for the worse. He developed a cocaine addiction, and he was buying airplanes. Meanwhile, kids didn't have shoes. So a group of family members wrote him a letter, asking him to start sharing some power. Love took one look at the letter and ripped it up. And so that's how the family fell apart. The people who had gathered together on the hill when they were just kids now came down the hill with kids of their own in tow. My parents cut their hair and started wearing street clothes. They went back to the names they were born with, Daniel and Judy. But I was still Composure. I needed a new name. So they went to the courthouse. It was 2 years too late, but they managed to get me a birth certificate. It had my name on it, Posey Gruner. And it had my birth date, the one JL wrote down in her ledger, December 2nd. 1980.
That story from Sound Effects' Posey Gruner. This story was adapted from a longer series about the Love family from a great podcast called Family Ghosts. You can find a link to that podcast and some photos of the Love family on our website, knkxsoundeffect.org.